My very first parish assignment was Holy Family Parish in Rockford. If you've ever been to it, it has a slant roof. Literally, it actually starts kind of at the door. It's about 7 feet off the ground at the door, and it actually just goes up and up and up and up to the back wall, which is just a massive, massive back wall, much higher than even the roof here. Just a very, very large building with quite the slant to its roof. When I was first assigned there, I got to take my nephew in when it was quiet. And he was probably about 5 years old or so, and I took him in and I was showing him the church, and I said, "This is God's house." And he looked up at the high, high ceiling and went, "Wow, this is God's house?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "God must have a really long ladder." I said, "How do you figure?" He said, "How else can you change those light bulbs up there?" He raised a good point. He did. Not really sure how he would get a ladder to some of those freestanding lights in the middle of the church, but that's really not the point. He held this thing in awe. He held this moment in grandiose awe. He took in this moment and he looked at it with amazement. To be totally amazed. And it's exciting in so many ways. Because that amazement is something that's reflected in these Gospels. It was actually literally used in the vigil readings. It was this reference to this amazement that the tomb is empty. And I think about this sometimes. Consider for a moment the women who went to the tomb at the beginning of the week. The Passover is finally over. They finally can go and finish what they intended to do from the very beginning. That was to give him proper burial. To properly do all of the things that they do for anyone who dies. And in this commitment, in this full committal, they're ready to say goodbye to a dead man. Yeah, he promised he'd rise from the grave. He promised he was the way, the truth, and the life. He promised that he was the vine and we are the branches. He said a lot of these things. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life within me." But that was when he was alive. Now he's dead. And they go to his grave to say goodbye, to make those final prayers. Mary goes to the tomb early in the morning, and the body's gone. She's still looking for a dead man. They're all still looking for a dead man. Because in this moment, she's so panicked that the tomb is open, that she runs to his closest friends, the ones who should know. The ones who should know if he got moved, if something happened, if some terrible calamity occurred. Remember that there were Roman soldiers posted as guards after he died. They were literally guarding a dead man because they were afraid someone would try and steal him. And yet here they are. The guards are gone. The tomb is open. The body's missing. And they're looking for a dead man. And she runs to Simon Peter and to John. She says, "They've taken him. Where is he?" Because they've got to know. But they don't. They weren't planning to see anyone else. So they had to go see it for themselves. They didn't trust the woman, which was their first mistake. But they didn't trust the woman. And they headed off to the tomb. And they ran over. And there it is. They saw it. Empty. And the burial cloths are there. The last things he was wrapped in before he died, when he was dead, after they took him down to the cross, after he was committed to that place of final rest, and they're the only thing there. Now they're not just looking for a dead guy, they're looking for a dead guy who someone had the indecency not only to steal, but to strip him of any covering before they took him. On the other hand, they were very courteous because they actually gathered all of the cloths up into one place and then rolled up the cloth that was around his head and put it somewhere else entirely. And they're still looking for a dead guy. I always think this is fascinating because in so many ways we lose sight of the incredibleness of what it is that we celebrate with Easter. We forget somehow this incredible reality that we celebrate with Easter. This great gift that we have been given with the promise of resurrection. Because his disciples, they saw him die. They knew he was dead. That part was obvious to them. And they didn't think it would go anywhere from there. But he rose again. And it's amazing. It's in this amazing that we truly actually get to see face to face what it is that God is willing to do for us constantly. As we look through the scripture from the very beginning, from the moment we walked with him in the garden, God has shown us amazing things. But the challenge for each of us is that even though we receive these amazing things in the garden, even though we are given amazing things by God over and over and over again, we get complacent. We forget. We grow casual. And then we start to put God more as we see him. We start to assume that God's just going to do whatever it is that we want him to do. We just sort of kind of put God in a box and say, you know, I'll bring him out when I need him. And we forget these very important things, like rising from the dead. It's always one of those curious moments for each of us because we come face to face with this like, oh sure, Jesus rose from the dead, but you know, what has he done for me lately? And that very statement means that we're no longer amazed by the fact that God became man, died, and rose again. The fact of the matter is that should make us every single day just stop and go, wow. It's that amazement. It's that joy. It's that truly remarkable excitement that we really want to consider on this Easter Sunday, that we truly want to consider as we celebrate this Easter season. Remember that Easter Sunday, the day of Easter, is actually 8 days long. It's such a big celebration. It's so important that we actually celebrate it for 8 days. We'll have Easter Sunday and then Easter Monday and Tuesday and so on because we celebrate for 8 days. We'll come full circle back to next Sunday. We'll celebrate the season of Easter for 6 weeks in its entirety. We celebrate all of these things with great joy and great zeal because it is the very heart of who we are as a Christian people. Consider for a moment that were it not for the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, there is no Christianity. The fact of the matter is that at the very heart of who we are as Christians, the very fact that we are Christians and we call ourselves such is because we are an Easter people. We are an Easter people who believe in a resurrection, who have been those witnesses, that have witnessed that God has not only risen from the dead, but continues to pour out his grace and his mercy upon us through his sacraments. And that in this completion, we are an Easter people. And Alleluia is our song. We have this great joy and this great zeal, or at least we should, this amazement that we get to celebrate being an Easter people, that we get to celebrate being a joyful, excited, amazed people. As we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate this truly remarkable and singularly most important day within our church year, I have a challenge for you. Do not let the amazing reality of a dead man rising become something complacent or casual. I want to challenge you to continue to be amazed by this great gift that we have received and to hold it in awe as it should be.